All right, here we are at Rabbit Podcast number 3, Therapy Rabbits. And I'm Felicia King. Today with me here is Claire, Therapy Rabbit. She's a Polish rabbit. And special guest today, we have Ellen Pedraza with Gustav. And Gustav is Ambassador Rabbit, Mr. G, Mr. Cuddles, the first Dust Bunny.
Yes, the original Dust Bunny.
The original Dust Bunny. Mm-hmm. Yes, he has many, many, many other titles. And he's just overall a spectacular bunny bun bun. And so today we are going to be covering on this edition of Therapy Rabbits podcast, all about Ellen and Gustav. So Ellen, I'm going to try to just let you ramble on wherever you'd like to go with this, in alignment with some lovely outline notes that you gave me that were some great talking points. So first, tell us about your origin story, where you first started to get to know Gustav with, you know, Leopold and Beatrice, who were his siblings. And by the way, Samson is also his sibling.
Oh, you know, I can't keep track of all of your bunnies. Hey, but thanks for inviting us to be on your show. It's wonderful. And I always love to talk about Gustav. And he enjoys the attention and the affection that that he gets from everyone that he meets. And he misses you too. He misses you, Felicia. So,
well, he was over here recently. I did get to see him in person. Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. And he did remember me. You know, he's a very smart bunny.
Mm-hmm. He hears your voice and his ears prick up.
Oh, I remember you were telling me about how sometimes he hears me on the radio on Saturdays. Yes. And is
and he has to take notes. And then he pesters me right away. Get the pencil and paper out.
You know, when you were over here, you were telling me something interesting about Gustav, where he runs all over the basement and he never does poo poo or pee pee any place other than his litter box.
He is so well trained. Thank you very much, Aristocrats of Wisconsin. But yes, indeed, he is not. He's very well trained. When he does do his laps, as we call it in the basement, or make his rounds, inspection and so on. He always returns home to his condo, hops up, the 4 or 5 inches up into his condo and does his business, and then comes back out and continues his routine. But yeah, he's so well-trained and such a kind little bunny, really mellow and good-natured.
You've had him all over the place, right? And he's never bitten anybody.
No, never, never. He's very calm. He's very affectionate. He loves to be hugged, cuddled. What is that called? Spooning. He loves spooning with his friends, all of his friends. He's sweet. And as one little boy called him, he's just one big brown loaf of bunny bread. Another one of his nicknames. But I met Gustav, remember, way back in the fall of 2020, when he was just a little baby kit, and you had me babysit for a couple of days, the whole farm.
That's right, the whole clan. Yeah, that was a lot of rabbits.
Yeah. Right. And he was so tiny. What was he, maybe 3 or 4 months old then?
Yeah.
Gustav decided he wanted to visit me for Christmas holidays. And actually he said he wanted to come for the holidays.
Yeah.
So I made the assumption, he's going to come and visit at Christmas, maybe New Year's. Well, lots of holidays have passed and he's still here. He's been through 2 Valentine's days, 2 St. Patrick days, almost 2 Easters, 4th of July, Memorial Day and Labor Day. So I guess, well, as you know, he signed a lease for us another year here. So I was so excited when he put his paw print down and said, it's a deal. So he's here for another year.
Well, and he's been on vacations with you on what, three states?
Yes, right. We made the rounds in a station wagon with his travel cage, which I had to upgrade because the normal travel cage, I guess, doesn't expect one to travel, you know, a total of 600 miles. No, I think it was 800 miles in 1 week. And I got from you a larger travel cage, which gives him a little bit more room to stretch. And it also makes him feel comfortable when he's a guest at someone else's house. He has a bigger cage, not full size like his condo that I have in the basement, but just a little bit more room for him to stretch and to relax and reach up. You know, those bunnies, they love to stand up and kind of crane and look over the top of the cage when the lid is off. So it gives him a little bit more freedom of movement.
Yeah. Does he tend to stay in there pretty well when he's a guest, or does he like to jump out?
Oh, well, he's a very friendly rabbit, but he's also very cautious. And as all rabbits are, he's also very curious, but he will cautiously explore and sniff and snuffle maybe for the first 24 hours. Once he gets the lay of the land, then boom. Once he figures out, oh, I can step on my cardboard box, that'll give me a few more inches and I can just zip up and over the top of the cage. So when we travel, I also bring along a collapsible, I guess playpen. It's like a small yeah. dog pen or small animal pen. And it has about 8 walls and they kind of collapse. So it can be reduced to a fold, you know,
about 5 by 5 or 6 by 6 feet?
It's about 6 by 6. It's ample room. So, and it is 24 inches high. Now that's because he's a small bunny. This little guy only weighs about 2 pounds. But if your normal aristocrats, they are a little bit larger. And I know that Gustav can jump out of his 24 inch high. He can jump up and over that playpen walls, his exercise pen walls. So if anyone is going to create some kind of, what do you call it, a run or an exercise pen, or even purchase one, I would recommend getting the 36 inch high wire grid walls. But anyhow, we bring that along, set it up whether it's the back patio or the basement, wherever we're staying, and put his travel cage inside there so that when he decides to leap up and out of his travel cage, he's still in an enclosed area. And that brings us back to our basement, my basement, where I've allowed him to exercise down there, of course, supervised. I'm right there, but I did remove any cleaning materials, anything that was sharp, any paint or other chemicals. I removed all those products from the floor of the basement. They are hopefully way up and out of his reach. On the other hand, he really is not interested in chewing on things in the basement. I was really surprised. He's not chewing on cables. He's not chewing on plastic legs. He can't resist cardboard. I can't fault him for that. Cardboard is his favorite, but I make sure that the cardboard that's within his reach is nothing that I wouldn't want to lose.
Right. Well, that's what they're trained for, right? We need them to be able to sharpen their teeth and wear down their teeth because they grow like 2 millimeters a week. So yes. Yeah, unfortunately they're trained such that any sort of cardboard, they think it's fair game. So you are smart to keep the cardboard you care about out of teeth reach.
But when we were traveling, our hosts were so kind that they often provided Gustav with cardboard boxes. In fact, they provided him with enough, large cardboard boxes, which allowed him to crawl inside. He loved that. He loved going inside and then backing out and then going inside again and chewing from the inside out. So we started calling these boxes his man caves.
Now, Gustav, he has not been, he's not been neutered, right? He's still got his niblets.
As far as I know.
That's right. He's still got his.
We haven't had any kind of talk yet, you know, adolescent to adult talk. So.
Yeah. Now, how old is
he say right now? He's all ears.
Well, he's what he's pushing. He's 2 years old now, right?
Yes. In July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you never had a problem with him spraying.
Never. No, he's so well trained. Really, never. The only time that I notice his like toileting might become irregular is when we do travel and he's kind of getting adjusted to a new space or a new environment, new deck, new patio, new basement. He might make a few mistakes, but eventually he returns to his usual wonderful habits of personal hygiene.
Now, do you take his litter box and put it inside of the playpen?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I would also recommend if anyone is listening to this, get a couple of litter boxes. That way you have them for the permanent home, the travel home, the exercise pen, because it can be a little bit of a chore dragging a litter box, the same litter box upstairs.
All over the place.
Yeah, to the backyard. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's important that they're all exactly the same shape and size model. And so that way the rabbit is like, oh, okay, I know what that is. That's definitely my litter box.
Oh, and talking about model in exact same shape and size. Also, what I noticed for Gustav, the same location.
Mm-hmm.
I put the litter box in the same corner in the condo as well as in his travel cage and also in his exercise pen. It's like the upper left corner if you're looking inside, but that makes a difference too.
Yeah.
I'm so surprised at how their spatial orientation is, that they know. I was watching Gustav when he first came to visit, and all I had was a small travel cage. And I used to open the lid, and I had this cage set up in my living room. And I also had the cage kind of elevated a little bit so that Gustav could peek out the window. Well, after about 2 weeks, this little guy, he got acquainted with his cage and the window, and then he began to sense, oh, the lid is open. Of course, except at night, I closed and locked it at night. But one day he realized the lid is open. And as he began to poke his head over the top of the, you can see the cage wall and the grid here, he decided, hey, I can jump over this. It took him about 2 weeks to figure that out, but he figured it out. He knew that he could safely push off of those lower haunches up and over a wall like this.
Now, what did he land on in this little adventure?
Carpeting. Thank goodness it was carpeting. And I think then he was kind of in a state of shock, like, wow, I did it. Now what?
Oh, he's feisty.
Oh, my goodness. But it very calculating.
Yeah.
Very calculating. He would poke his head up and it took 2 weeks and he might push over the curl up over the wall here and boom. But I don't think.
Now, were you around when this happened?
Fortunately, I was. And I think I was more shocked than he was. I never expected that he could had that power in those hind legs to boom.
I would totally expect that. It's just the reason I ask about, you know, were you around at the time? Because I know that sometimes the Bucks get really excited and they want to come visit me on my desk. And so like to my left here, there's a cage on a table, generally a high table with a cage on it. They can't see, you know, they can't really notice that there's going to be a floor around them. So then they're not daredevils enough to try and jump off, but they can see my desk right here.
Yeah. And oh, yes,
the really feisty Bucks, they will jump up over and like they'll land on my phone or they'll land on my keyboard, you know, or they'll just jump right into my lap, you know. It's just
aren't they something?
It's just them being all loving and, you know, they just want to come and play and be with me and stuff like that. Hey, Gustav, look at your sweet little face, buddy. Here's Claire.
But isn't it amazing, though, that they are able to calculate the jump from the cage to your desktop, that they, you know, they know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They know what they're doing. They know how to get about. And I've learned over the years that actually rabbits are pretty darned resilient. I mean, they'll bust a nail. They might bust a tooth. But they're pretty darn tough. I'm not saying that they can't break their legs, but I've only ever had two rabbits that have broken their leg. And it was in very, very difficult situations that you would have expected somebody to break their leg in, like, you know, a slippy floor sort of situation, you know, not like, oh, I landed on carpeting. So I think that that's useful for somebody who has rabbits to keep in mind that if they're going to have like an elevated cage setup, I mean, first off, the elevated cage is a really good idea because it does tend to keep the rabbit in while you can still have the lid open. Mm-hmm. And now granted, I would say that the majority of my rabbits are just not that feisty. they just don't feel that compelled to jump out, you know? Now if they can see that floor is really close to them, they're gonna jump out and get feisty. But that's something is if you've got a bit of a feisty rabbit, you may definitely want to put down some sort of a nice, even a throw rug or something like that. The padding isn't as important as traction. Traction is the most important because they got these, you know, nails. And if they hit some traction type of surface, like a throw rug, they're going to get traction. They're going to land nice and they're going to be fine. Nobody's going to have a broken leg. It's when they hit a hardwood floor, you know, slippy floor of some sort or another, that their lower or their, you know, back leg may jack out. And what can happen is that, you know, if my arm here is representative of the hind leg, you know, here's your femur, right? And it'll break. Their bone can shatter right above the knee joint. And I do mean shatter. And so you obviously want to avoid that because that's a death event. If their femur gets shattered, especially with a rotational fracture, that's it. I mean, the only thing you can really do at that point in time is just, it's heartbreaking. You know, give them love, tell them goodbye, and take the pain away. That's all you can do. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, a lot of the things that I try to do on this, you know, rabbit podcast is make sure that people know how to be successful with their rabbits. I think there's a big misnomer where they're like, oh, rabbits are so delicate. And it's like, no, rabbits are pretty darn durable. Like, you know, Arabella and Callista, right? So they're fiver kits. So Callista lives with Fiver, but she really hates her sister. And Arabella is her sister. So I put Arabella in a 2-foot cage on top of Florent's cage. And, you know, Florent is a buck. And so Arabella goes up, she goes up on top of Florent's cage, you know, harass the buck or anything like that. It's because she wants to go visit her sister and harass her sister. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of these does just got an attitude problem. She's all sweet and everything with Fiber, but she looks at Arabella as some sort of competition. So I had Arabella's cage top open. Arabella was fine. She's in the 2-foot cage. She's totally fine. Callista comes along, jumps up in there. And of course, Arabella is like, I got to get away from this, you know, psycho rabbit. So she, you know, jumps out and then ends up flying off. And I mean, we're talking about a good 4 feet in the air flying off.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You know, so nails are getting broken. And then there's blood draining down the wall from nails getting broken. And, you know, overall, Arabella is really, really tough. This happened twice. On one occasion, she she like ripped the tendon. So if my hand here is her foot, she ripped the tendon on the lower fourth metatarsal. So what happens is that normally if all the toes are down, they're grabbing. This one is not, you know, because they stand on their toes. They stand on their toenails.
Oh, with all that fur around their feet, you can't see that. But they're standing on their toenails.
Okay. They stand on their toenails. And so this fourth metatarsal, it's just kind of up. So the interesting thing is that even after all of that, you know, physical exertion, drama, falling twice from 4 feet and stuff, her metatarsal's not broken. It's not broken. It's perfectly fine. She has good capillary refill on it. It's healthy. It has, you know, good blood flow. It grows fur and it grows nail, all of that stuff. But the tendon on the lower side, it tore. So it's always kind of up. It just doesn't go down. She can still walk and run just fine. It doesn't harm her whatsoever. So anyways, I just tell that story because she's, you know, they're tough. And I've had two does with broken tails.
They've fallen.
I don't know when they fell. Their tail breaks, their tail heals. And instead of it being, you know, straight, it's got a permanent little, you know, angle in the tailbone. And, you know, you can't straighten it out.
There is the tail is attached by bone and not cartilage or something like that.
Well, it's obvious. Yeah. I mean, it's both. There's definitely tailbone there. I don't know how many segments of vertebrae kind of there is in the tailbone, but there's definitely tailbone there. And there's probably 4 or 5 segments. So yeah, I've seen does bust their tails. They go on for years and years and years with a busted tail. It doesn't do anything. So that rabbits are pretty darn tough.
Oh, which reminds me too, one thing I also looked out for in the basement, because Gustav does love to gallop, is in addition to removing all those chemical things up and out of his reach, I also looked for anything that was grid-like on the floor or on the shelf, because I didn't want his foot or anything to get caught in a grid, because I felt that might be too dangerous. Very dangerous.
Well, you're absolutely right. When I was younger and stupid as a rabbitry person, I utilized a shelf material that had little holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just what I had around. And occasionally their nail would get caught in that, and then their nail would get ripped out. So I got rid of that.
And like pegboard or something.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. And the floor, the standard floor material for rabbit housing is a 1-inch by 1/2-inch grid. So that allows poo-poo and pee-pee to go through without their feet falling through. And, you know, the standard cages that I do use a 1-by-1 grid. And mostly I use the 1-by-1 grid because it makes it, you have more options on where you can mount your water bottles and things like that. But a 2-by-1 grid is totally fine for walls as well. But yeah, you're absolutely right to think about you know, you don't want that leg getting caught in any place and then getting busted.
But I never thought that something as small as a hole in a pegboard. So that's a good thing to keep in mind, that
right.
in a pegboard.
Well, they'd walk up to kind of the edge, or they'd just be sitting there on the shelf and decide they were going to jump off. Well, their nail would get caught in mm-hmm. the board, and then they would go and the nail would stay there. And, you know, the nail would grow back. So it wasn't like the worst thing in the world, but they do bleed a lot when, you know, that nail just gets totally ripped out.
Plus the pain, it's painful. And there's,
I mean, the
thought of it is painful, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty darn tough. I mean, I've never heard a rabbit squeal from having their nail ripped out. So now I use solid shelves. They have like little bumpies on them for traction, but otherwise I use solid shelves now.
Okay, good.
So your condo, it has a tunnel that's up high, and he likes to jump into that.
He does. And he does. And he not only can he jump in, he jumps in always face forward, but that tunnel is wide enough for him to turn around in. He can make a 180 degree turn. Or he can just back into that tunnel and show his little hind end out the wall of the cage, especially if he doesn't want to listen to me. He's funny. But his condo is, I think it's 18 or 20 inches high, something like that.
Yeah.
So that gives him plenty of room to reach up and stretch. And plus I have, the sisal rope is tied. It hangs down into the condo. It's tied to the grid of the ceiling. And of course, because he's Gustav and he's spoiled, he has two sisal rope hanging down for him to chew on. And in there, it's big enough for a couple of cardboard boxes for him to chew and gnaw on. And there's room for treats, you know, a carrot or parsley or arugula.
He's got his standard food bin and his water and stuff. And and his poo box is in there too.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, it's a pretty sizable condo.
Yes. And he can stretch, which he does. It's so interesting to watch him just stretch out his body. It's long when he does a full stretch or yawns. So that's where he spends the night in the condo. And I feel like there's enough there to keep him occupied and allow him to be active. And, because I can hear him. I can hear him when he's tugging or tussling with a cardboard box. You know, just that little, of course, I'm probably attuned to
him. He sleeps under your bedroom, doesn't he?
Yes, right. So
The
sound travels up through the air vents. So sometimes I have to tell him to settle down.
So there's that little...
bed. Go to bed.
There's a little rabbit noise going on in the background overnight. Yeah.
Yes.
So the stretching, I want to comment on the stretching thing. It's actually very, very important that rabbits have vertical space and they need that kind of core strength capability. They want to stretch up and they want to stretch out. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as you give them adequate space to be able to, you know, do a couple hops, do a turn, hops back, they can maintain quite a great deal of physical fitness. I mean, assuming that they're a self-motivated rabbit, and most of the bucks are going to be totally, I should say, unaltered bucks, right? Mm-hmm. Unaltered bucks are going to be self-motivated enough to the point where they just want to be active. There are some kind of older does that are really only motivated by the activity of living with their sisters, right? You know, one doe kind of chasing the other doe. So I've had some does that are just bored. And so they'll eat a little bit more than they should be eating, and then they'll get bloat. And then I put them with another doe, and then they kind of, chase each other. And next thing you know, that bloat problem is gone. So the stretching is really important for physical fitness. How long have you left him overnight all by himself?
Oh, we've never been apart. Or let me put it this way. He's never been alone at night. No.
Yeah. So, well, that's because he's so portable. I mean, he's such a portable little bunny bonbon.
Right. Maybe during the day, 7 or 8 hours every now and then. But at night, I've never let him alone unsupervised. After all, he is an adolescent. I don't want him to get into trouble. But I know you've said that he will feed himself. When he's hungry, he will nibble. When he's thirsty, he will drink. However, I have to confess that those first 3 or 4 or 5 months, I watched him to make sure he was sipping water. I watched and waited for him to nibble because I wanted to make sure he was getting everything he needed.
Well, he was only a rental bunny at that time, right?
That's right.
Or so you thought. Like,
so I thought.
I was surreptitiously placing him with you because I knew he was perfect for you.
Well, that is the beauty. When I've heard about all of the bunny placements you've made, that is so wonderful that you can match, that you do care about matching the personality, which, number one, the personality of a bunny. Never in my life did I ever dream about bunnies having personalities, but they do. And I've seen that now with the thousands, it seems like thousands that you've bred. But that is so wonderful because that ensures the safety and well-being and contentment of the rabbit too. So I appreciate what Aristocrat does.
Well, ultimately I think that, I want the rabbit to be in a good home, and that means that the rabbit needs to be successful in that home, and the rabbit can only be successful in that home if that rabbit is a match for the people.
Mm-hmm.
There's very, very few bad rabbits. There's very few. Most rabbits are good rabbits. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what kind of rabbit? What speed are they? What's their personality? What's their temperament? Their, inclinations. Are they a clown rabbit? Like, Brooks rabbit is a clown rabbit.
Oh, that Arnaud is just an entertainer, right? Just a natural born entertainer.
Yeah, versus Whiskers, like, my Maz rabbit. He Whiskers is just, he's just a laissez-faire rabbit. He enjoys her company. Like, okay, I'll tell you something really funny. So one day I was just calling her to find out, like, are you home back yet? And she's not back yet. So I'm talking to her on her cell phone, right, while she's driving. And she was hands-free, just to be sure that everybody is clear on that. And
well, you better clarify who was driving.
Yeah. Well, so now Whiskers was back at home, and he'd been there he'd been there for, that was day two, by himself. Like, he's, mm-hmm. he's quite frequently by himself and he does just fine.
Okay.
So I have an intercom system. So I intercommed in Whiskers. And so I had her on speakerphone, right? And I had Whiskers on intercom on speakerphone. And okay, so now, just to tell you how much of, like, a techno geek I am, I also have a webcam for Whiskers. so I can, like, supervise Whiskers while nobody is there. And so I could see what he was doing. So when she started talking, Whiskers goes and stands up and his little ears are up, and he's like looking around. He's looking around. Where is she? He's looking. It was just, oh my gosh, it was so funny. I started giggling to myself. So I told my mom, like, yep, Whiskers is in hot anticipation for your arrival.
Mm-hmm. He misses you.
Right. He is totally her speed. He is nonplussed by when her cane drops and hits the floor. He He's like, nah, I don't care about that noise. He doesn't, you know, he's a low maintenance rabbit. He doesn't need to be babysat or fawned over. You know, he's fine. He's an independent. He's a rabbit unto himself. How about that? Right. So, right. You know, just different personality. Because Whiskers is not somebody who would want to be held all the time and cuddled.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You hold him too much, he's just going to pee-pee on you.
Well, I will say that I limit
cuddle time.
30 minutes, 45 minutes, and let him go back into his cage. And if he
and there he is grooming away.
Yes, yes. He'll do that or other personal hygiene, and then he'll come back out again.
Well, but that's a very important point you make. And I think that was in one of my books I gave you, right? Wasn't it? It's like,
yes.
Yeah. And I talked also in my little book about how if they start biting your shirt or something like that, then they're telling you it's time to go pee pee.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
And woe be to you who ignores that.
No. And I don't want him to be embarrassed or feel self-conscious or.
Right.
I don't want to change my clothing more.
Right.
More than once a day.
So one of your notes here is you're talking about how he's observant, and I have noticed, I mean, I think a lot of the rabbits are like watch rabbits. So I was recently working with Bright. He is unfortunately not understanding that I'm not a doe. He thinks I'm a doe, and that he thinks spraying me is an acceptable thing to do. So I'm working on him because he's such a sweet buck. I mean, he's like the most friendly rabbit that has ever lived, and he's clean and gentle, and he doesn't bite anybody. He's so sweet and he's gorgeous. So I don't want to eat him. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to help him pass this kind of juvenile stage that he's in right now where he's decided he needs to spray on things. So I took him and held him upside down, and I laid on the floor and I put him up on top of me, and I just held him there. And yes, I had a little towel over his private parts so he couldn't pee-pee on me. And I looked around and I see the other rabbits were like in a row lined up watching me, you know, with ears forward, right? Like totally in the, I am going to watch you zone pattern, you know?
Full alert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were just like lined up, mm-hmm. like doing nothing else. They were totally captivated by what was happening to Bright. Like, I got to watch, you know, and the ears were not just up, but they were forward. So what happens with you and Gustav?
Well, I just noticed that, well, maybe because there's nothing else interesting to watch in this house since I got rid of the mice and the centipedes and the spiders, his head will swivel. You know, he'll watch me come into a room or walk out of a room, or he will come up to the front of his condo when I approach it. You know, he's coming forward to greet me. And so that kind of behavior. But especially if I'm walking around a room or through it, I can see his head moves. So he's aware of that. And part of it, I think, is if I walk into the room, then he might change his posture if he was contracted. You know how they do in the winter, they kind of contract their bodies to stay warm. Well, he'll look around to see, well, what's in this room? What's moving? You know, what is moving in this room?
And he's still grooming, by the way. He's still over there grooming away.
Well, he's on camera. He's very conscientious of his public image. So he wants to look his best for you. he's wants to represent the aristocrat rabbitry very well. He's a good guy. So, but I forgot to tell you a little bit about every now and then I've told you some of the games that we've learned how to play. And And that keeps him active, physically active and entertained too. But he loves to play tug of war with a toilet roll, toilet paper roll. You know, I'll have one end and he'll be chewing and nibbling on the other. And wow, can he make it round that toilet roll, you know, with his chewing. That is amazing. He's quick. It's a minute or two and he's made the complete circumference of that little roll of toilet paper. Or we like to, he likes, now that he's used to running laps in the basement, he likes to be chased. So he will do some free runs, and then wherever I am in the basement, he'll come and run around my feet. And he's telling me, let's go, time to race, time to play, time to chase the bunny, time for the bunny to hide or play hide and seek. So, you know, he's trained me now. He's trained me in that game too, but really cute. And what I noticed too, when he's running around me to get my attention, he does like this. It sounds like it's coming from his throat.
Yeah, it's like a low grunting, isn't it?
Yes, yes. You know, and all I could think of were those throat singers from Siberia or somewhere in Mongolia. Have you heard of them? That
oh yeah.
So it's just an interesting. It's like a vibration.
It's a low grunting thing, and I don't think does do that. I think that's exclusively a buck thing. Mm-hmm. And they do it mostly when they want to play. Mm-hmm. You know, they're either trying to tell you they want to play, or they're trying to talk to a doe and, you know, tell them that they want to play with the doe, right? You know, but it's mm-hmm. like a buck thing, this low grunting thing that they do.
Yes, right. But when it first started occurring, when he started to run around my feet or around the table where I was standing or sitting, you know, they're so quiet that there were a few times that I almost stepped on him accidentally. I didn't realize that he was at my feet running around there. So now I'm more alert to that behavior, and I cooperate. So it's tug of war, it's chase the bunny, it's hide and seek with the bunny, and we'll see what activities come up next. Now every year there's something new with him.
He's still grooming.
Well, hey, I hope that doesn't say anything bad about my housekeeping. I am a good housekeeper, I guess.
It's very typical for rabbits. They are just extremely fastidious. And actually, I shouldn't say rabbits, I should say Polish rabbits, because I'm not an expert on all rabbits. Okay. I can say that Polish rabbits are extremely fastidious. And I mean, he's over there just grooming and grooming and grooming. Yeah, I mean, they love the cuddling for the most mm-hmm. part. Most of the yeah. rabbits love the cuddling, but mm-hmm. then they're like, somebody's messed up my fur.
My outfit. Oh, that is cute. I just assume, I'm not an expert on anything.
But. So I want to talk about the tick incident.
Oh, yes. Well, you know what? That's really important for your listeners. Talk about it. Well, me, the naive bunny. Owner,
well, no. You were not naive. I said you could let him outside and play in your little backyard, and that would be totally fine. And you had him supervised, and that is normally totally, totally fine. Totally fine. Mm-hmm. The issue came into, he ran into some bushes,
yes,
where some deer tick had laid eggs.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now, if he would have never gotten in the bushes, it wouldn't have been a problem. But as it was, he got a whole face full of deer ticks, like little tiny nymph style deer ticks that couldn't have been any more than like a millimeter long.
Right. Smaller than a pinhead. Smaller than a pinhead.
So. Yeah, they were real small. So So basically what we did is we picked him off of him with some very specialty tweezers. And then we had to shave him a little bit to try to get to all the deer ticks, and we got them all off. The big way that we noticed it was that they were around his eye. So yes. They had started to feed. Now, they didn't get big enough. They had just started to feed. And it's like, I noticed some little things around his eye, and I'm like, what are those black spots around his eye? That shouldn't be there. And I look at it and like, what the heck? It's a deer tick. So fortunately they were not infected at that time. That's the stage of a deer tick when they're not really infected. And, here he is, he's fine. What? More than a year later, it seems like. Well, no, maybe about 9-10 months later. Anyways, yes. Quite a while mm-hmm. longer. And he's mm-hmm. perfectly fine. Yes. So there he goes, grooming again. Mm-hmm. And he's so cute.
It is. It's so rabbit-like.
He's such a pocket rabbit. Mm-hmm. So we had to trim his fur. And mm-hmm. I have a small animal fur trimmer. So we trimmed his fur, and he looked astronomically bad after his fur was trimmed. I mean, it was so uncool.
Including his whiskers.
Well, and yeah, they had to go because, I mean, the deer ticks were on his face. Mm-hmm. They were on his face. You know, we had to get at it. So yeah, here whiskers, or Gustav was without whiskers. And he was without most of his face fur, I might add, because we had gotten it down to quite a short nub so that we could find and eradicate every last deer tick. Yes. And I'm glad we took the natural method of just, you know, mechanical removal, like nobody freaked out and went and got some chemicals. Mm-hmm. So, oh my gosh. Okay. So Claire is over here putting a box on her head. Let me see if I can show this to you right now. Here she is. Oh, okay. She just stopped. That box was on her head. She put it on there herself. Yeah. So, you know, speaking of watch rabbits, right? Speaking of watch rabbits, what does she do? As soon as I start watching, she's got her eyes all wide, right? I'm getting watched. Then she had to stop her clown. She had to stop clowning around because I was watching her. Well, anyways, so we pulled these ticks off of Gustav, and then I know you were kind of concerned about like his fur, and I'm like, yeah, 6 months, you know, like it was, I remember when this was June of last year, because I told you his fur would all be back by Christmas.
And it was.
And he looked magnificent at Christmas.
Oh, he did.
Didn't he run around with you at like Thanksgiving too? Weren't you traveling around?
Right. We traveled over Thanksgiving.
I thought he looked pretty good in Thanksgiving too.
Yes, he did. He was better. And Christmas, he traveled at Christmas. So he had his winter coat. He was able to have his winter coat. And it was a good thing that it was summer, because that when we had to shave him and remove those ticks, because it allowed me to work in natural light. I think you recommended too that I get the magnifying. We did use this magnifier. What do you call it?
Lenses? Yeah. So I have some safety glasses that go over my regular glasses that have a 2X or a 2.5X magnifying right mm-hmm. in the safety glasses. But I also have like a little head mounted thing with little flip down magnifier. And so you got one of those where it's got a little flip down magnifier, and that really helps a lot. I think that is so helpful when doing nails or health inspection, anything like that.
Yes. Thank you for recommending that, because you're so right, especially for me with trimming the nails. That really helps with that close work.
Yeah. So. On the tick issue, I remember you checked him, twice a day for several days?
Probably a good week.
Okay.
And as you instructed me, I saved those ticks and I put them in a jar, and I checked them for whether they were feeding ticks or whether they were dead, just the carcass. So later in that week, then they more and more of them were just dried, desiccated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dead ticks. So
there were dozens and dozens that you removed that first day. Oh,
I think that first day I must have pulled 100 off of him. I swear, I think he must have just walked his little face right into a deer tick nest, because the research I did on deer ticks is that, like, the deer tick egg sac or whatever it is, it's like thousands of deer ticks. And so, I mean, he must have just walked his face right into that, because they were all in his face.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple that were trying to get to his ear. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that we got them before they went down into his ear.
Mm-hmm. And I think you also told me too that they like moist areas that,
That's why they were hovering around his eye.
Yes, they migrated towards his eye. So,
well, and they were going towards his little nose too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They were all over his nose and they were really around his eye. Yeah, they love that moisture stuff. Mm-hmm. So
as a result of that, I no longer allow him to run born free through the lawn. Which is just fine. He has motivated me to look for an exercise pen.
But you have quite a lot of wild rabbits by you as well. And one of the things that we should cover is rabbit hemorrhagic viral disease, RHVD. Yes. And RHVD is definitely transmissible between domestic rabbits and wild rabbits. There are some diseases that wild rabbits have that they carry that don't affect them at all, because they're just, you know, they've lived with it for, you know, hundreds of generations, if not more, maybe thousands of generations. But those same diseases would be very devastating to a domestic rabbit. So it's strongly recommended that you don't allow your domestic rabbit to go nose to nose with a wild rabbit, because when they do nose to nose, which that's how they want to play, you know, that's how they communicate to each other. They want to do nose to nose. So it's strongly recommended, if you're going to have your rabbit outside, it's supervised. And I think the grass is fine as long as the grass is short. And you know there aren't ticks in the grass. It should be sunny and dry, not like the fresh morning dew grass. Lord only knows what's on there. The last thing that you want is your domestic rabbit in tall grass that's moist. So we've got some areas of our property where the grass gets tall and it's kind of in a bit of a marshy area. And so you'll see snails there. Now the snails contain parasites. So, you know, the rabbit's not going to eat the parasites, but as the snail moves along, it's leaving a snail trail, and it's quite possible that there's, you know, parasites in there. And, you know, you don't want your rabbit eating that grass. So I do go outside and harvest grass when there's good grass around. And I'm very careful to only harvest grass that is in sunny, dry places, not shady places, not wet places, and only do it at times of the day that things are really dried out, not like right in the morning, but more like later in the afternoon, because then things like ticks who like moisture, or spiders, or those snails, you know, anything like that is going to be like, oh, I'm baking in the sun, let me get out of here. So they go down, and I never harvest the grass all the way down. I take the top chunk of it. And also I'm doing eyes on, right? Eyes on that grass. And I'm making sure that I'm not taking grass from someplace where some deer have been. I don't want to see any deer poo-poo. I don't want to see any coyote poo-poo. Like, so I'm pretty particular and fussy about that. And I've never had any rabbit parasite issues in my rabbitry as a result of that. So they're not free range outdoor rabbits. They're domestic mm-hmm. rabbits inside mm-hmm. and they're healthy. But that all being said, you know, we've got a few months of the season here in Wisconsin mm-hmm. where it's warm outside and it's not really deer. It's not really tick season. And I love to take the bunnies outside and put them in the field and just let them run around. And, you know, there's no ticks at that time because it's not tick season. So pay attention to tick season is one of my other pieces of advice.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I know that you stressed that the bunnies need vitamin D. They need sunshine.
So. They need sunshine. They need fresh mm-hmm. air. Yes. Yes.
So that's why I do. I'm looking forward to summer to have Gustav out in the patio, but as you said, supervised and within an enclosed area. Mm-hmm. But also what I do too is in the winter here up north, I bring him upstairs in his travel cage to my sunny, warm living room so that he can get direct sun in winter as well, a couple of hours each day. And I think that, you know, he'll snooze, his eyes will close while he's in the, when he's in direct sunlight, even though he's inside the house. So I think he feels it. I think he feels that those sun rays on him.
Oh yeah.
But that is something that I do for him. So.
Well, something I've noticed some of my bucks are doing lately that's really, I mean, it's super funny, super funny. That they'll be in their 2-foot cage in my office. They don't sleep there. That's called office rabbit space, right? And then for the evening, they go back down to their much bigger cage. So they'll flop, you know, they'll be vertical and then whoop, whoop, you know, they'll just like flop on their side. And then Morgan, he is so darn funny. Him and Magellan, they both do this. So they'll go on their side, right? And then they'll all stretch out. And then their little head goes back, you know, and they're like, their eyes are closed and they're rolling around on their back. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys are so funny. So does Gustav do that too?
You know, I haven't seen him lie on his back. He does flop. He is in the basement after a good run. He'll just flop on the cool floor. But not yet. I haven't seen him daydreaming or dreaming at all. So.
Okay. Well, you got to see this like flop on the side thing. And then it's like, this some sort of great satisfaction of like rolling around on one's back and stretching the head back. You know, it's just, it's such a hoot. And, you know, they're not really sleeping. They just flopped and then they're doing this. And then I try to get them on video. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm like sneaking up my phone to take a video on him. Right. And then they're like, oh, she's looking, you know.
What is she doing?
Yeah, well,
that's the watch rabbit in them. You know, they go back under full alert. Yeah, what's going on?
Something else I've been trying to get some videos of, like, okay, she just flopped. Let me see if I can put the camera over here. Okay, there she is.
There's
Claire. She just flopped. She just did a total flop. Oh. And so one of the things I've been trying to get some video of lately was, you know, what does it look like when a rabbit is using the bite valve on the drinker?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're right here next to my desk. And so I'll see them doing the bite valve and I'll be taking my phone and I'll turn it on video and I'm like sneaking up to the rabbit, like sneaking up. And then they're like, wait, she's watching. And then they stop drinking. So what I've observed with these bunnies, and I do actually have some decent videos of that, because they, you know, they kind of get used to me sneaking up on them with the camera.
You know, I bet that's right. Eventually they'll get used to that behavior.
Ignore it,
feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, they're like, well, okay, I guess nothing is happening here. So one of the things that I found particularly interesting that was totally unexpected was that some of the rabbits are so smart about the bite valve that they bite it, hold it open, and then they suck.
Wow.
Not just bite and like lick, right? Because it's this valve, and they could bite it, and then they could put their tongue underneath, right, and lick little drops and stuff. No, some of them are bite, hold the valve open, and they suck. Like I hear I hear like little sucking noises going on, and it, you know, it works because there's this little tiny hole in the top of the bottle cover, right? So there's no like built up suction that they have to fight. But I hear them suck in the water. I'm like, I guess that wasn't totally unexpected because they obviously suck teats on their mama.
Yes. Yes.
But they figured out how to do that on a bite valve too. So
that's your smart bunnies from Aristocrats of Wisconsin.
So I take it you haven't tried sneaking up on Gustav with a video camera going on, right?
Oh, no. Right. I don't think I've ever sent you videos. What I'd love to do is send you a video of him, but he's so fast running in the basement, kicking up his rear heels.
Yeah.
He does that. It's like, wow, you are a real bunny. That's what real bunnies do. Because sometimes I think he's so cuddly. He's like just this beautiful stuffed bunny. But I would love for you to see him joyfully galloping through the basement, kicking up his heels.
You should try and get some of those videos today. You know, today I had Fiverr up here, you know, and Fiverr is my first rabbit ever. And she's an old doe now. And she's rarely ever office rabbit because she has this enormous two-story condo system. And, you know, it's an effrontery for her to be anywhere outside of her luxury palace. So this morning she was all, you know, paws up in the air and wanting to get my attention. I'm like, okay, you want to be office rabbit today? Because that's what happens every morning is I go down there and I'm like, okay, who wants to be office rabbit today? And then they tell me who wants to be office rabbit.
Oh my goodness.
I maintain a calendar. In fact, let me get the calendar. This is so funny. I have to get the calendar and show you. I have to track because of course I believe in fairness, you know, fairness to the rabbits, right? Okay. So this is my calendar.
Yes.
So I fill in every single day. So you can see today was Fiverr and Claire's day there.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Fill in every day. Mm-hmm. Who was office rabbit of the day? Here we go. Here's February. Mm-hmm. some days I forgot to fill it in. Oh, and then that's brutal because I'm like, uh-oh, who was office rabbit that day? I don't know. So anyways, Fiverr was up here and, you know, she's of course up. And she's standing up and watching me go anytime I go out and come back in. And so I let her out to run around. And Fiverr is one of those rabbits she's super, super well-trained. Because when I first trained her, I spent an hour with her for 3 months straight. Every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Every day. Mm-hmm. And so she goes down the stairs. She goes down the stairs. She visits the rabbits and then comes back upstairs.
Is that what she did today?
That's what she did.
She knows her way down the steps and up. Oh yeah. My goodness.
And then mm-hmm. later on this afternoon, I was like, all right, are you done being office rabbit? So I took her to the kitchen. I put her down. And she tears off through the house, goes down the stairs, down, visits rabbits. And then she's by her condo. And there's Callista. There's Callista on the other side of the cage. And they're nosing, right? They're nose to nose. They're nosing. And I'm like, okay, Fiverr, I get it. So I opened her cage door and she comes around the corner and goes into her cage. All by herself. And I shut the door.
Oh, my goodness. So communicative.
Yeah.
She knew what she wanted. She knew how to get the message across to you and done.
All done. Yeah, I mean, on that topic, I think rabbits are actually extremely good communicators. Oh, I have to tell you a funny story about Cinnamon. So Cinnamon will jump up on her little shelf when she wants pets. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she's otherwise, when she doesn't want pets, she runs downstairs. You know, she's got a two-story condo, so she'll run downstairs. She's like, no, I don't want any pets. And then when she wants pets, up on the shelf. And one day she was out of food. So her cage has a top. And when the top is open, you know, it's on an angle like about yay. Mm-hmm. And so one day she doesn't have any food. And I'm down there to kind of do evening chores. And here she is, spider rabbit, up and down. She's like on this vertical section of the, you know, this like quasi vertical section of the roof of her cage.
Yes.
Just to like get my attention. Like I said, okay, Cinnamon, I get it. I know you need food. So I brought her some food and then she started eating it, you know, but I think rabbits are very, very communicative. You just, they're not going to do it with noise.
Mm-hmm. No, right. Yes. They cannot, they don't make any noise.
They are visual communicators. Mm-hmm. Well, they do make noise. So Claire this morning,
okay.
Oh yeah. So that, well, you know, I mean, the bucks grunt, right? Well, this morning when Claire came up here, she was kind of irked. Like she really just did not enjoy the whole, like she just wanted to be with her sister all day. Okay. She really didn't want to be office rabbit, but I'm training her. So she has to learn how to be office rabbit. So she comes up here. I put her in this cage back here behind me and she goes, and she's like making little, oh yeah. Like little squeaky noises of being grumpy with me. And then she thumps, you know? And so that was her communication. Like I am the pissed rabbit, a thump, you know,
you know, people have asked me if Gustav thumps, but maybe he does. And it's very light, but I don't think I've heard him thump.
No, you'd know it. You'd know it if he was thumping.
I would know it, yeah. So
you'd know it.
Interesting. But so she made a little bit of a squeaky noise. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a grumpy squeaky.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like, she was not pleased at the fact that I picked her up and carted her around. Now she had her little like kind of lay down. Now she's grooming and mm-hmm. Here, Claire, come visit. Come visit again. Here's Claire. See how feisty she is? Look at that.
Yes.
Look at that feistiness here.
In her legs.
See that face right there? That is the pissed rabbit face. Like I don't appreciate the fact that you've picked me up. Thanks so much, but no thank you. Right?
No thank you. Oh.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, one note, when I pick up rabbits, I try to make sure that I'm not cramming their tail, right? So mm-hmm. when I do this kind of back end hold like this,
mm-hmm.
do you see the tail?
Yes. Okay.
So the tail is not folded up. I'm not putting upward pressure on that tail. The tail is down, right? The tail is down.
All right, I'm going to try that. Come on, Mr. G. Let's practice a new movement. Oh, I'm going to have to pay attention to that. I am. And also talk a little bit about their ears and petting their ears.
Oh, well, most rabbits like their little face rubbed. Some mm-hmm. of them really like their face rubbed with like a little ear stroke. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be a gentle ear stroke. It should never pull on them.
Okay.
So, so I'm more prone to do something like this where I'm just very, very gentle on the ears mm-hmm. and, you know, not grabbing them. The ears are exceptionally sensitive on rabbits. And I've seen people pull on rabbit ears and then cause them to almost have like a rabbit post-traumatic stress disorder about it, which they can be worked out. You know, it can be,
yes.
Can, yeah. You know, if you give them enough stroking and loving, and they have kind of like what I would characterize as a memory substitution. So they no longer think that every time somebody grabs their ears that they're going to get pulled on. Now, okay. You see how I can put my fingers right here. This is like literally in Claire's mouth. If she was going to bite me, she mm-hmm. would, you know, she would have bitten me, but mm-hmm. she's not going to bite me because she's a sweetie bun bun. So,
well, I have started to feed Gustav some sunflower seeds, you know, from my hand. I've allowed him to.
So are you like cupping like this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd like to, you know, do that or just get a little closer to his mouth so that he's not afraid of my fingers at all. I don't think he's afraid.
No, in fact, I would say that the thing that they're doing is that when they smell your hand, they're more prone to just be cautious so that they don't bite you because you're their friend, right? They don't want to bite you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Did you see Claire flip there and then how I caught her? I don't know. Did you happen to see that?
I'll have to watch that again.
Well, so, you know, if you see, this is one of the things that I do is yes. I train these rabbits such that they are used to being handled and so that they don't flip around and, you know, like fly out of your hands. Cause I am a rabbit juggler, but mm-hmm. most people are not rabbit jugglers.
No.
And you don't want your rabbit to launch out of your hands and, put their face into something where they injure their tooth or whatever.
And so I see you have that front paw in between your index finger and middle finger.
I do. Right? Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that way, if she starts launching forward, right, I can stop her because this is her shoulder.
Yes, that's her. Right. This is right here. That's his shoulder. Yes. So right. We're under both shoulders.
Right. So I'm not, you know, mostly she's supporting most of her weight I'm supporting on her hip bones here. And mm-hmm. then the tail is loose and down. Yeah. But then on my other hand, do you see how she's holding onto my hand?
Oh, yes.
See that? So I think maybe you're like all up under his armpits or something. And yes. See, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. I only got the four legs here.
Little Gustav looks like a scarecrow. I've got to figure that out. Okay. Come on, little guy. Oh, well. We'll see. At least he's not biting my thumb.
Look, no, he's not going to bite you. He mm-hmm. does have his ears back, though. And that is I am putting up with you. Oh, look at Claire's ears. Claire is, she's happier now. Her ears are more up.
Okay.
Yeah, Gustav is giving you a mean face there. That's what my mother calls it.
Guy. All right, little guy.
My mother calls it mean face. She invented that one. I'm like, really? Okay. Mean face? She's like, yes, look at that. That's mean face. I'm like, okay, good grief.
Okay. Oh, he's still giving me the mean face.
Look, his ears are up. That's not mean face. He immediately switched his attitude there.
Oh, okay. Well, he's staring at me, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, but that's not mean face. He's totally done with that now because you put him down, so he doesn't care anymore. He's like, no, I'm gonna groom now.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Anything else we should cover?
Oh, I think I'd like to hear a little bit more about Gustav as the ambassador rabbit, having been all over Minnesota, all over Illinois, almost made it to New York.
Almost, right.
He's been all over Wisconsin. He's visited so many places. He was just such a phenomenal bunny everywhere. Everyone loves him. He's, you know, he's with people of every age, shape, size, or flavor, and children, and he's never peed on anybody. He's never bit anybody.
He's not. He's never chewed up anyone's clothing or fingers. And he even met, we call it when the tiny pocket bunny met the tiny purse-sized terrier.
So I remember
that. He met a little terrier last summer, a little 3-pound terrier, and meets the 2-pound bunny. And all they did was kind of sniff each other and then just sort of went their own ways. Didn't interrupt Gustav from hopping, exploring. And it was in a little patio. So I was amazed. I was ready for, yes, go ahead.
Speaking of the patio, you were telling me about how so some of the people that you visited actually wanted him to come back because he was taking all of the dandelions and weeds out of their concrete patio.
Yes, he was. He was trying to help with a cleanup for the party. So he was eating dandelions that were popping up between the deck. It was a deck. And also talking about visiting and so on at another household where we were in a gazebo, and that's where Gustav stayed because it was summer. It was nice and it was a screened in porch gazebo, but this was summer and it was warm and it was a backyard and there were wild rabbits and there were wild bunny rabbits too, baby kits. And my sister snapped a photo of Gustav in the screened in gazebo, standing upright on his hind legs, looking directly, about 15 feet away in the yard was a tiny baby rabbit who was also upright, ears were straight up, and this little baby rabbit was looking right at Gustav. We were hoping it wasn't a girl. But so he encountered, the famed wild rabbit species, and he survived. He survived the encounter.
So yeah, so Gustav is, he's just a spectacularly good-looking Polish rabbit. And with excellent conformation. So his brother Leopold actually won the Manitowoc Rabbit Fair.
And a natural.
Yep. And I got to see if I can get Hope on the show here, who's she is the caretaker of Leopold.
Wonderful. That'll be wonderful. Especially to see him and to see how he's doing too.
He's fantastic. He's basically coffee rabbit every day, having coffee with the family and the breakfast. He's breakfast rabbit, coffee rabbit. He's study for school rabbit,
Oh, boy, hardworking then.
Yeah, that's right. He's a rabbit that does everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another polymath in the family.
Okay, well, I think we have covered a tremendous amount here. And, basically Gustav is just, one final question I have for you.
Oh, all right.
Is how has Gustav changed your life?
Oh, how has Gustav? Oh, he's made me much more responsible. Yes, I'm learning responsibility and compassion and empathy. And I've also learned how to be, how to clean a litter box. So I guess he's part of my lifelong adventures and lifelong learning.
Well,
Thank you very much, Felicia.
I think, that's one aspect of it, but the other aspect is, I think that he's just that always there buddy. He's just your rabbit buddy.
Oh, yes. We are BBFs now. We're not BFFs. We are BBFs. And that's best Bunny Buddies Forever. That's what we are. Bunny Buddies Forever. It's almost a tongue twister.
That is good.
Yes, we are. So thank you so much, Felicia, for finding a good match for me in the bunny world.
Well, I'm glad you could take him. He's too sweet. He's too sweet to eat. He's just too sweet to eat. I mean,
too sweet to eat. There we go. And
there he is grooming again.
Yes. But he's not vain, you know, even though he'll go from lap to lap and take in every compliment about his coat, about his big brown eyes, about his personality. He's not vain. So I admire that in him too.
No,
good breeding. Good breeding.
He's just grooming because he likes to be clean. He's just fastidious.
Mm-hmm.
And All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your rabbit adventures. And you basically got 2 years of Gustav now, right?
Yes. Life with Gustav. PG and no, BG and AG. That's how, before Gustav and after Gustav.
Okay, so no. now we have the answer, like what happened to your life with Gustav. It was this is now the after Gustav edition.
Right, that's right. Okay.
Oh. Okay, well, thanks for your time. I really appreciate you sharing your rabbity experience perspectives, and I think these types of podcasts that we're doing here are exceptionally valuable to people to really get them to understand from, you know, real world, long-term perspectives, what it's like to have a bunny buddy friend. or it could be the bunny buddy forever.
Yes. Or bunny buddy forever friend, a BBFF.
So. Yeah, see, it's just it has all kinds of varieties you can do with that.
Yeah. So, well, I appreciate all that Aristocrats has done for the Polish bunny here in Wisconsin, spreading the joy, So, thank you, Felicia. All right, then, you have a good evening and a good week ahead.
All right, bye-bye, Ellen and Gustav.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.